Father in heaven, we thank you again for another day, Lord. And as we approach this year, we look to great things happening here while we're serving you, and look to the great things that's already taken place to be involved in heaven. And we thank you again for the chance to serve and worship you. And I pray for this frail body, Lord, this throat. I pray you'd give me unction, power, and anointing in such a way that the Holy Spirit could just use this frail body for your glory. And we know anything for your glory be for our good. Please help us today on this subject. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Take your Bible and be turning to Psalms chapter 145, if you will. Psalms chapter 145. And I want to read down just a few verses here and give you the subject. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me just a minute before we read. You know, you and I are everyone that's here that's born physically in this world, products of the last generation. Everything you and I have learned have been taught from people who've learned the past. There's not too much new stuff other than adding to what we learned, because we have this great capacity to learn with the mind and the brain. And God has given us the ability to do mighty things in our day, to find out mighty things, to move rapidly in mighty things. But everything starts with a basic somewhere or another. When we were born into the physical life, we had to grow academically. We had to grow physically. And hopefully that you and I have been saved, have grown spiritually. Because you can be saved and not grow spiritually, just like you can be born and not go physically. You see people, it may be a maverick of some kind, but you see people like that sometimes. So we know we are a product of the last generation. This was on my mind a few months ago, and I got looking at it, and I got to seeing that everything we are come to us from, to begin with, that our parents would got it from their parents. Now, grant you, maybe you and I sometimes had the advantage of some things to use our mind a little different than maybe some parents or grandparents had, because knowledge is so much more available today. We learn so much more faster. It's not that we didn't have people in the past that had great minds. It's just the fact that it was hard to keep knowledge and pass it down to the next generation, because the slowest thing you had, main thing to start with, even with the print press, was real slow. But in our day, we have instant knowledge almost. That's one of the reasons I believe we get to heaven to glorify our body. You see, we have instant knowledge now, just the fact that you go to the computer. I'm convinced just about anything you want to find out in this world, you can find it on a computer somewhere or another. Have you tried lately? I am amazed what's on. I was the other day thinking about just my own name. Somebody said, have you ever pulled your name up? I said, no, they don't have me. And I put my name. I didn't know I was on the computer. Do you? By the way, probably you are too, if you put the right information. I'm saying we're products of the past. And God has let us understand that it's not that we have to do what the past says, but some things from the past are good. Basic things of learning is good from the past. But there's some things God would have us to develop with our mind in our day towards a goal of some kind. Why? Because there's not another person on this earth like you and I. There's not another human being on this earth identical like we are. You've heard me say that many times. You can look in the mirror and say, I am the only species of humanity just like I am that's in this world. And you can be right, because you'd be not another person be precisely just like you. You may be identical twins, but there'd be some type of change, because that's the way God made us, through procreation. So what I'm saying to you, isn't it an amazing thing that we find government many places will try to force us to learn academically? Back a number of years ago when I came along, and when some of the older ones came along here, some may can't even remember when the government didn't force you to get an education. But now, when I came along, you had to get an education. And they even suggest you start in the first grade. Now they like start earlier, and we do. But then it was demanded, I think, about the second or third or fourth grade you had to. In fact, if a parent doesn't at least try to give their children the education that's free in this world, even by government, the government will see to it that they are arrested, because they see the importance of what it is to learn. Are you with me? So we know we're forced to learn sometimes. A person has to go to school, what, till they're, what, 18 or 16? Is it 16? I mean, right now, there's a, if you don't, if you're a certain age, don't go to school, they can, well, they can, you know what they can do. And so what I'm saying to you is that amazing God forces us, or has allowed that circumstance to force us to learn, because we have the ability to learn. And I don't care, I guess I consider myself one of the most dumbest one in this building, but I don't care how dumb we are, we can learn something. Unless we have some kind of a special child who has a problem that's inherited or has something that's happened at accident or something. What I'm trying to lay out to you is this, that everybody knows it's best to pass knowledge down. And if you can pass knowledge down faster so the ones who are coming along in the next generation has already got it available and can learn, they can learn faster. And we see that happening. That's the reason we see today knowledge is much more increased than it was 40, 50 years ago. They were knowledgeable people, but not like we have today. And so what I want you to understand, God also has a method of getting his message out to each generation too. What you and I learned about God to start with came from the last generation. If we learned anything, it came from a generation before us. Somebody was used to reach you and I for Christ. Somebody was used to tell us about him. Somebody was used to tell us we had a book called the Bible. Somebody was used to head us in a direction so we could learn about the most precious thing in this world, and that's to be born again to the family of God. So God says a lot about what we're to be doing as a church in our time for the next generation. We have an indictment to teach and to give information. It doesn't mean they have to accept it, but they wish they had one day. But we have an indictment to give to the next generation. That's our children, offspring, and down where we can, what God intended as far as his plan and purpose was. What we learned from the past, and what I didn't know, I could learn that God still is the author of this book. He gave them a book, but he also gave us the same book. Now, man fights a lot today to try to erase this book or to do away with it or to change it, but we have the Word of God. That means simply we can start out from what I've learned when I became saved and talking to people, reading the literature, reading the Bible, but God gave us the Holy Spirit, and now he's given us an indictment. Now, let's look at what David said here, this one verse, or a few verses in Psalm 145. He said in verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Amen. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. David said, one generation shall give thy praise to other, declare it. And notice he said, and declare or praise thy generation to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. That is, one generation that knows this true and living God is going to give to the next generation as they come into time that they may have a groundwork to work on when they become an adult or when they become a child of God to maturity. So we can also give them enough to get started. They have the same book, and the Holy Spirit would use their characteristics, their mentality, their abilities, and bring them to a point, if they're surrendered to him, to be used for the next generation if God sees fit for it to exist another generation after us. Or even after them. So what we're seeing, David is giving this. He said, I will speak of the glorious honors of my majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the mighty of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. There'll be some who will declare about God. They don't know who God is, but since they believe in God, there's some going to talk about his terrible acts. But he said, I'm going to declare this. Notice this. He said, I'm going to declare thy greatness. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Verse 10, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and shall talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. In other words, there is a generation that God said has this indictment to give to the next generation the no thanks about God. Now listen to me. The world can't do that. When the world begins to try to talk about the God, they talk about many gods. And they stress and express their God. And you may have 1,000 gods on the planet Earth and everybody expressing their God. That's not what God means here. David said, I'm talking about the one who is the God, Almighty God, the one who started this and one who will finish this. I'm talking about the one who is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ in our understanding today. He said, we're to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, this great God's mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is everlasting kingdom, he said, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh to all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Notice again, in truth, I guess you'd have to understand what is truth. Well, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and this is truth, the holy word of God. So we're going to really call on him. The right way is find what he says in this book about him, and then trust him, believe him, follow him, obey him, and then lay a plateau if he raises you in position somewhere to teach the word of God or to witness, as everybody is a witness for the Lord, then we are to witness about this God and no other God. And he's telling us that he's nigh to us, that we'll call on him in truth. Well, we know Jesus is the truth. Already said that. Verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and forever. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I won't have time to read that for sake of time, for verse 4 through 11, verse 12, verse 20 through 24, if you read that, you find God giving Israel the information about what they should do to their family and teaching them about the things of God. He says they're going to be a time they're going to ask you some questions. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? As Israel walks with it before God and the system he gave to them. And they said, you tell them this, you tell them that, you tell how I brought you out of the land of Egypt, you tell them how about the sacrifice, you tell them about Passover, you tell them all the things you do, you explain to your next generation, your children and grandchildren, why you do these things, and let God deal with their hearts on that information. And so we see God Almighty is giving this to us, and this is my title of the message. Each generation owes the next generation what we have learned. We have that academic in this world. It will be done by the world to the next generation. But when it comes to the things of God, the world has no dealing with that whatsoever. The world hates that. And so God is set forth now in our, not Israel, because Israel has been set aside. Jew and Gentile saved alike today. We've seen that in the last few weeks. But what we're seeing, God has given the church the indictment and the truth and the instructions that we be the one that tells the world about who he is. And no one else is going to be able to do it. Why? They don't know him. If they try to talk about God and don't know him through Jesus Christ, no matter what the world may say, they only know a false God. Because we understand, if you understand anything about God in grace, when Jesus came, things changed, and he's the one that God has set everything through and for. So when I began to look at this, I look at some things. And I have to go back in Genesis 1, and you learn that about how God made everything. And so God made the angels, and they don't reproduce. We understand that. But to the other creatures that God made, he gave them reproduction power. And when he began to reproduce like that of their own kind, one generation gave birth to another, passing on human characteristics and personal traits and talents and beliefs and things like that that was in the DNA. Also, one human generation passed it off to the next human generation, a sinful nature. And that's the reason the generation that's passed from a sinful nature to a sinful nature, that where the nature has not been changed to a new nature through the new birth, they will only set forth that which brought evil, and the Bible says wax worse and worse and worse and worse. Paul told Timothy that. So we have to realize the only thing to counteract that waxing worse is the gospel of Christ that starts in someone's heart, and that person becomes in a loving, humble way telling people about who Jesus Christ is and trying their best to get our best to get them to understand that in this life. And so we learn. Some things passed on are natural. Some things we learn. Everything that I got from my parents as far as my DNA and stuff are from them, developed, thank God, to a degree. Not as much as some things I'd like to have, but at least I'm doing pretty well in life. God let me live to be almost 77 years old. And so I'm understanding that I thank God for that passed my parents. But thank God I've learned a lot of things in my life my parents didn't know. Some of you have too. I've seen some things my parents parents did see, but their parents never did see. Isn't it amazing how things have passed and changed so much in the last few years? And so here, I realize that these sinful nature is passed on, and every human being gets that. Some things passed on are natural, some things we learn. But what do you have that you learned from your parents, from their generation, that they learned from their parents' generation? How has this generation affected you? Each generation learns from the previous generation, and each generation has the duty to pass on things to the next generation, and beyond that, that they learn because of advanced knowledge. And hopefully that would help them have somewhat a better life in this life. And of course, as we see that happen, then also, as we think about it, that's true. Well, we get the nature you know, we learn academically, we inherit things and help sometime in life to get better lives. So all those things are good in themselves if they're done right. But what God is telling us, also there are things we need to pass on to the next generation that will replace us, and that's the things of God. They need to know that God exists. Not like the world thinks, but like God reveals himself in this precious book. Two quick points give to you on this subject. First of all, the first point, we need to make known the works of God to the next generation. That's what David was doing. That's what he told Israel to do for their own in the nation of Israel, that they let their children and grandchildren and the generation that's coming in the future know about what God is doing. So in all the other things they learn, there'll be someone teaching them from the home right up to where they're at as far as life, that where the Holy Spirit could help them early in life to get started as a young adult, even to have the church, as we know in the age of grace, hopefully it'd be teaching this book so they also would have a ground to learn more about what God's will is for their particular life. And so we need to tell the next generation how God created things. We go, how do you do that? Genesis 1 and 2, you have to go look, and then other places he mentions about his creation. They need to know that Genesis record of how God created the heavens and the earth and all that's in the earth. They need to know something rather than evolution and humanism. I mean, God, it should be our God, not evolution and humanism. That's made up by man who has no relationship with God. You say, wait a minute, preacher. No, a man cannot believe in evolution, ladies and gentlemen, if he believes the Bible, because the Bible teaches us a God. Now, why would the God that teaches us a God teach us evolution when the God who teaches he's the God created everything? See, Satan's a sly fox. He has deceived us, and we'll be deceived, and when we are deceived, we deceive others if we're not careful. They need to know how angels came and how animals and people got here. We need to tell the next generation of God's involvement in all things. They need to know that God preserves and governs everything which he made. And by the way, he does. Satan seems to have upper hand, but God's won. Hey, he's already won. Sometimes in this life, looking at it, it doesn't look like it. But God's already won. God's already told us. Read Revelation. He's told us where Satan's headed. Don't it make you feel good sometimes when he's camping at your door knocking at it? Say, no, hey, this... what are you doing? It's just temporary. Why? I know where he's headed. Somebody will say, well, I don't even believe in devil. Boy, he really got you then. Boy, if he, you know, somebody that lives and real, make somebody believe he's not real, they're just a tool in his hand, isn't it? Look at that. And so I see we need to tell this next generation. We need to know that God's hand is in everything, that he is the source of all blessings. We need to tell the next generation about God's work of redemption for mankind. They need to know that God so loved this world, just not so much love to be born physically, but to be born spiritually, according to John chapter 3, when we read that about the redemption, you see. They need to know that every single person of every generation is known and loved by God. I'm talking about this God, not the gods they're creating, but this God. Every generation that comes, that ever been born, it knows them and understand that he loves them. By the way, he knew them before they were ever born. But these other gods didn't. They have no mind. Everything false gods give to people is what they give to them. They can do nothing except what one puts in their mind, gives to a false god, and they practice something that really was not the false god, but what they wanted to do themselves, claiming that he was their god. We need to tell the next generation about the work of redemption and how this came about in life. They need to know every single person God loves. They need to know how God prepared everything before sending his son Jesus to the earth. They need to know what he did when he came and died 2,000 years ago for mankind. They need to know that although man gave up gave us the pages of Scripture, it was God who inspired those men and moved their pen inspiration and moved them to write what these words are. And it's the Holy Spirit that moved them to write this, that moves in us when we get saved to help us understand what they wrote. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing of new birth is more than what the world looks at. Christianity is more than what, quote, the world defines it. Christianity is a life that God gives you and I to practice even before we get the glorified body. How are we to tell those things then to the next generation? If that's what I got to do, preacher, how can I do that? How can I learn to know what to tell the next generation that's coming? In my case, I've been telling it now for 57 years, doing my best to. and with church now, soon be 50 years old, have been telling it. We have tried to practice what God said do, and thank God many have listened and been blessed by that. They're to be told as others are told about anything. I mean, how did you learn academically? How did you learn 2 + 2? Some of us didn't learn it to the first grade. Others who come later got it down in kindergarten. There's some people in K-3 can tell you what 2 + 2 is. Isn't it an amazing thing? Some kids in K-3 can tell you what 10 times 10 is, and, you know, 10 times 3 and do multiplication tables, and there's some adults can't do that. You know why? They were never taught that. A child in kindergarten write his name. Some adults can't. Now, maybe less, but when I was a boy, very few adults could do that. I remember the first time I ever seen someone sign something, they signed an X. And I asked why. He said, well, that's what I do. I can't write my name. I don't see how X would give authority. I thought that was an unknown, didn't you? I saw that an unknown in algebra. But I'm saying to you, it is amazing what we know and can know in this particular day we're living in. So we have to tell them. There are times when we find that people are paid to tell us. I remember going to school and my first grade teacher was paid to tell me, how to teach me. Do you? Every grade I had. I never had one grade I know of in high school, in school for 12 years and a number of years in college too. I never had anyone tell me, you know what? I'm doing this free. No, they did it. They were paid to do it, and we paid people to teach us, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. When a person is an expert in the field, I can learn more from a study behind someone who studies something in less time than I can to do the research and find it myself. That's the reason people say, ask questions. You get around me, you're going to find I ask questions. Somebody said, preacher, but you get boring to me, you ask so many questions. It's not boring to me, because if you tell me what I ask you, I'm learning. And when I ask you a question, that's what I want to know. I don't want to go 15 miles around just to get the answer. I just want the question. Amen? Because it's important that we use these minds. And boy, the older you get, you better use it. If you don't, you'll lose it. And that's activation that God gives us to do in this particular life. And so we read books. We talk casually. We talk to each other. We have Bible teachers. Even Romans chapter 10, I love this. This is a plan of salvation. But if you turn over there with me, you'll see in Romans chapter 10, here's what Paul said. And I read this, and it always brings a joy to my heart. When he says in verse 8, and they say, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession made unto salvation. That's knowledge, folks. That's words of God that telling us what to do to be saved. And then he goes on and said, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. You need to show that some. The Greek means the Gentiles. Now, Paul said there is no in the age of grace, no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Now, the world tells you there is. But, ladies and gentlemen, if I got to tire out part of what Paul said, I might as well tire the rest of it out. Because God either inspired it all or didn't inspire any of it. As a matter of fact, if we'd have to start cutting some of this out, why don't we just close the door and go ahead and live like we want to live anyhow? By the way, you'd have no trouble with the flesh for that. Say amen. The flesh would like to do a lot of things that we don't do, and we bring in control. Why? We love the Lord more than we love the flesh. We shall love ourselves, but that's to teach us the things that need to be done. And he said, how then shall they call on them that are believe? Watch, you can't unless they believe. Who shall call upon the Lord? In verse 13, how shall they call on him if they not believe? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? If you got to believe, you got to believe what? You got to believe someone tell you what? Who it is to believe in. That's what Paul is telling us here. And how shall they hear without a preacher or a teacher? That doesn't mean just passing what I'm doing. And he said, and how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. By the way, if you ever hear somebody begin to really tear me up again, go read that verse to them. I've read that verse many times. I get a letter once in a while, I get some things and like that, and I just go read and say, you know, God said, I don't know, they may think from here up that I look pretty bad, but God said, my feet are beautiful, I'm preaching the gospel of Christ. You say, preacher, what is that? You're psychologically out of your mind, aren't you? No, that's just giving strength when you need it, ladies and gentlemen. How do you think David encouraged himself when he went back to Ziklag and saw his family taken and everything there they had was gone? The Bible says that even those his soldiers that's with him were going to take his life. And he said he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know how you do that? This is the only word you and I have. that can encourage us in the Lord. And in the coming year, we're going to need that as we go through. And he said, of course, in verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So by praising God one to another, the next generation will learn God. When we speak of God's wisdom and his power and his goodness and love one to another, others will hear. Not all, but some will hear. When we express admiration and gratitude and love and joy to one another about God, others will hear. Not all, but some will hear. When we praise God openly, and the next generation will hear and they'll see. We must convince the next generation that we regard God with an utmost admiration, with a God-fearing reverence, with a gratitude of love, and know that through obedience to his word. These are the things the world looks at to see if we have anything, because they can't see what we have from the inside, you see. And so I find this very much so. Samuel said in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. And I believe that. To obey God will cause us to sacrifice to some degree. We need to know the works of God to the next generation. Secondly, why should we try to show God the next generation? The next generation owes its existence to us. You say, well, I don't know that preacher. Let me tell you something. You stop natural birth right now in our generation, and there's no future generations. Right? If we could say right there, this day is the last day anyone on this earth is going to be born from this generation. Well, within probably 100 years, most of them be gone. Aren't you glad God set it up like he did? Yes, sir, until he gets ready to close it out. The next generation will be our descendants, our children. We're the next generation guardians and instruction in God. We're to train their bodies, their minds, their hearts. Proverbs 22 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. They have the right, natural right to look to us for instructions. And they have the natural right to expect, ladies and gentlemen, us to teach them everything that's necessary for them to know. And this is the thing, if we do not, the world will. Except about the true and living God. Most governments talk about it, unless a government is built by some false god, that church and state or God and state need to be separated, because the way our forefathers said it 4 years ago. They look to us for instruction upon what is of value and what is not. So the next generation inherits all that previous generation has. Material possession, pass on, heirs, when one generation passes. Wheels are made out, lands and property and things like that are given to the next generation. I mean, we are to train bodies, their minds, and their heart. Proverbs 22, train up a child the way he should go again, I've said, and he'll not depart from it. It is not only right that they should inherit knowledge of God and his works, though, if we're going to give these other things. Is that not right, ladies and gentlemen? If I want to leave, if I had any hurts to leave to my family, I'd rather them to have it in the state. But if I want them to have what little bit that God may have given me in this life, I certainly want them to have what God gave me spiritually. Because what they get in this life can't buy their salvation. But what they get spiritually, God can deliver them to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord when they go through the exodus of death. And so I realize that we need to pass this on. God had in his mind what he knew would happen by doing it this way. We're indebted to the next generation before us. What do you have that you inherited from your parents, your relatives, your friends, when they pass away? What do you have to receive from someone else in your past generation? Well, no, you have DNA. You received their nature. And many of us have received other things. Sometimes maybe they're knowledgeable-wise because someone had certain genes that could learn good. I don't know if anyone hears what they call a photographic memory, have you? Anyone know here know you got a photographic memory? Or if you did, would you admit to it? If I had one, I would, wouldn't you? The only problem is if I said I did, someone would say, prove it, and I can't. So I know I don't have one. But I'm saying that we learn these things, you say. What do you do when you receive it? What we received from the last generation? Well, I know one thing, I received this book. I remember the first Bible I got after I got saved. A dear man had one and gave it to me, or almost gave it to me. I gave him a little bit for it. At that time, he introduced me to the Scofield Bible for the first time. And I thank God for that. We are indebted to the generation before us. Give us our Bible. The books that we have. We're filling our library now The college in the future will have a better library than we've ever had in the past. Preachers who are dying, going home, be the Lord giving it to them. A lot of my books, I've got a huge library compared to what I started with years ago, and most of those will go, I'm going to donate to the college library in the future. What I'm saying, that's books that people in the future, I didn't have any books, didn't have the money to buy because I had no salary to start with here. And I remember getting a book from Scripture Proof one day in Virginia, had books that they sold to pastors and things. And I wrote him a letter and told him I had come to Clayton and just started new work and didn't have the money. I needed some books to learn by and didn't have any. And the library here, I didn't have one here at that time, but at the library in Smithfield, I couldn't find what I needed. And they kindly sent back and said, Reverend Innes, we'd be glad to do that, a young preacher. And that's how I started my library years ago. I'd get so many every month, pay so much a month for them, and down through the years that I got those, and now thank God for us at today. But isn't it an amazing thing? Now, all those hundreds, and I believe a few thousand books, pamphlets and things that I had through the years, now I don't even need them because of the computer. I found out I can go to the computer and find some of those same things now quicker. But I believe we need to stick to studying books that are good books. In fact, good books nowadays are not being printed. You know, we find a lot of trouble with our college finding books because they're not printing anymore. And they say, why? Why is it? Men of old who wrote for knowledge, not for money. And they say this. Well, they didn't print them. We bought the rights to them, but we're not going to print them. I say, why? They said, because they don't make no money. And so many of the great writers of the past are no longer being used unless they have a way to make money off of it. So we do. What about your religious instruction? Your fear of God? These things many need to know. When you know about what you know about God and salvation is passed from one generation to another generation, it should not stop with us, though. By the way, you'd have to say since Jesus Christ, well, we know since the beginning of time is passed down, God has kept it, either a nation or individual. But in our day for the church, since Jesus Christ, the information about Christ has been passed down to every generation. That's the reason you and I had the privilege to have it. I don't know about you, but I thank God for preserving this book. Amen. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you and I would be out with all the rest of the gods of this world if we didn't have this book. This book is God's holy word, inspired. And because of that, we know it's true. And we cut our teeth on that as children of God down through the ages. So I look and find this out. That we need to let our children know that we care about the things of God, that they are in a spiritual warfare. Let's give the next generation a knowledge of God and His work and His appearance, that we think highly of Him, that we love Him and admire His works and prefer Him over all things. If we do not, then 2 Timothy, ladies and gentlemen, says simply this, as Paul wrote to Timothy, and he made this statement, just two verses. In chapter 3, verse 7, he said, the world is ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The world learns and will not study anything except what the world offers. Therefore, God is cut off. But then he says in verse 12 or 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Not only do they wax worse and worse, but they're deceiving. And when they're deceived, they're being deceived. Or when they're being deceived, they're deceiving others. And it hands down from one generation to the next. So our generation owes the next generation what we have learned about God, about His Son, about the Holy Spirit. May 2017 be a time that we say with Isaiah of old, Lord, here I am, send me. Isaiah 6, verse 8. 2016 is in the past now. 2017 is ahead of us, and I thank God for the past. Our best days are ahead of us, ladies and gentlemen, whether you know that or not. But preacher, I don't know. Some hard things come to this. Yes, but our best days are ahead. Probably, in this life, some of the best days are ahead. Though Satan will try not to let that happen. But I got news for you. When we leave this life, and draw that last breath, and this body goes back to the dust, and people send things over us, hopefully because they loved us and gave us a good, you want to call a funeral, fine. But we're going to be on the portals of glory shouting the victory. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And all God has done for us in this life is get us there. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's our duty to let the next generation know of God's work and to proclaim His praise. It's our duty to tell the next generation of God. One must know God personally to do that. And I'm finding out probably, I wonder how personally each one who says they're saved knows God, because very little has been given to try to get that message to others who come into this world. One who does not know God cannot praise Him. One does not know God is not qualified even to present him to the world. And the question is, are we qualified? If we are, it's our duty to declare and praise God's work to one another and then to the world. Are you qualified? The only way we can be qualified is to be born again. That's what Jesus said, except man be born again. He cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And so when we look at these things, our statement is our duty to declare and praise God to one another. And then what have we done to publicly express God's knowledge to this world, his works and so forth, and about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you done everything which you could do for the education of your own children in the things of God? I know you're going to do the other part as much as they want to learn. If you were to die today, what would you leave behind for them to remember you by? And I thought about that. I missed this. By the way, this thing's more to me than you. And I go back over my life. My wife and I were talking about it recently. I'm so glad. Nobody knows how hard sometimes. And when I see people make decisions to serve God, I know it's a struggle. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad that she and I gave it all to him. 50 years ago when we came here. I did really 57 years when I got saved. But I had a lot of training as a babe in Christ through those early years. A lot of things I had to learn. Can you imagine what would happen in this world if every generation would declare the things of God to the next generation? I'm telling you this, folks, if that would happen, I don't care how bad this world was, if our generation would declare to the next generation everything that God is and live that way, this world would be a wonderful change over two or three generations. So it's our duty to pass on to the next generation all we know about God and do it in a loving way. We don't bang someone over the head and try to force someone, because forcing someone don't do it. We give them the gospel of Jesus Christ and let God do the rest from there. What do you know about God to pass on? Because we know this. We need. God uses one generation to tell another generation what is going on in this life and also what we should be doing. Each generation owes the next generation what we have learned. If not, there come a generation won't have the privilege that you and I even have. Give you a true story. While doing this message, I recently read where there was out in Hot Springs, Arkansas, there is what they call a Morris Antique Mall. I understand it's pretty large, pretty well known. On the inside, this mall looks just like most antique malls. It's filled with musty smell and many dusty relics of all kinds in the past. But they say when you walk on the outside and look closely at the mall, you will see that before it was an antique store, it was a thriving church building. And somewhere down the road, it left its first love, Ephesians 1. And what happened through the years, it dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. And it sold the property. And now on that property, a thriving antique store is there. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes to show you that God meant business about what we have to do as a church. And I think about a godly church focusing correctly in the future really prevents it from becoming a resting place for a dusty relic in an antique mall. Because a thriving church is one that loves God, not just an individual, but as a body of believers, and come together for the purpose. Lord, we don't know much, but thank God we know you. Lord Jesus, there's so much we want to know, we don't know. But help us learn, first of all, that we may know you, and that we may pass the word to others how much you love this world. And Holy Spirit that lives in us, help us learn to yield to you, or in turn, we might be what we need to be as we hide this precious book. Lord, I love this book. And I thank you for it. I wish others did. There's no way in this world that I'd have to be out of place when this book's been taught. I can't get it all myself. I need others who have walked with God, who can give me some insight of study, and from there, go back to the Spirit of God to develop it further. help us understand our Heavenly Father, that our generation owes it to the next generation to tell them what we know now about you. If someone here today is not saved, Lord, I pray this come the day of salvation. In junior church, listen to my radio, new stream of the website. But most of all, Father, I pray that we not lose that burden. I believe with all my heart that God gives us a burden when we receive His Word. And that burden moves us to do more and just be a Christian. Help us, Lord, this year to have a death of our soul move, because God so loved this world. He wants to manifest that love through His people like You ordained. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for His sake we pray. Amen.